All right, so after about a month, we're back. There's not a lot going on, but we really wanted to come back and say hi for our Believe in Rams fans out there. Episode 164 is in your living room, on your phone, whether you're at the work office, in the bathroom, on the bus, whatever.
Wherever.
Does not matter. We're here with you right now. Cam, how you doing, my guy?
I'm doing great. It's nice, like you said, to talk to our folks on Believe in Rams. It's the Rams community. We've been chatting you up on Off the Edge, by the way. Every Off the Edge episode, we speak about the Rams community, Believe in Rams. We do give a little shade to the Cardinals, to the 49ers, each time the Seahawks. It's nice, though, Jake, to really dig in on this one. I know for Off the Edge, for people who have been following us there, we've been doing our division breakdowns. We just did the NFC West, and so now we get to dig in. We get to throw shots at the 49ers, the Cardinals, and the Seahawks, which is really cool. And Off the Edge, we can't. We have to be a little bit like Switzerland, you know what I mean? Nice to everybody, but now we get to dig in. So really excited about this, Jake.
Yes, and you know what else I'm really excited about, Cam? We have a brand new sponsor. That's right. Underdog Fantasy. If you guys want to play some fantasy football with us, you know, the NFL, MLB, NHL, whatever, Underdog Fantasy will have you covered. Nice. And so you can get a $100 bonus match on Underdog Fantasy by using the promo code Jake and Cam. That's JAKEAND and then of course Cam, CAM. That was across both Believe in Rams and Off the Edge, so we're very excited about it. Cam, how do you feel about this? I'm pretty hyped.
Yeah, no, I'm hyped too, Jake. And something that we've talked about offline when we brought the sponsor on, Jake, I haven't done any fantasy football my whole life. I've seen it. I've studied it. I know I've talked to you about it, right?
It's time to break the seal.
Break the seal. Let's do it. And I know, Jake, too, when it comes to, you know, we have BetOnline as well as our sponsor and now Underdog Fantasy. But as a current athlete, also a former athlete sometimes, especially when you're broadcasting, when it comes to sports betting, we know what happens, right? These past couple of weeks and months while we have been away, we've seen in the news, right? A lot of athletes getting dinged for doing sports betting, whether in the parking lot, whether they're on site, it doesn't matter. And so from what we were told back in the day when I retired in 2019, stay away from it. Just stay away from it. Don't even worry about it. And so now it's nice to do it through Underdog Fantasy. And to do it responsibly as well, Jake, and to learn along the way. So I'm excited to learn from you when it comes to sport, when it comes to the fantasy football, when it comes to our fans as well, just to learn what it's about. So I'm Jake. Any tips before we get started with us with fantasy football? Please feel free to share.
So this is my favorite type of fantasy football for people that are very busy, but they want to have some skin in the game, if you will. Underdog allows you to do that. They have this thing called Best Ball. I almost forgot what it was called. Best Ball, where you draft a team. It's all fun and everything. And you draft a team. And then after you've drafted the team, you don't even have to touch the team. Okay. The team sets itself based on how well whoever you have on the team, excuse me, performs for that week. And so, you know, for those people that don't like high maintenance fantasy football leagues, this thing is for you. And so you can play with us. There's all different, you know, prize money and things like that. So we won't get too much in the details there, but just keep an eye on our social media, our Discord channel, things like that to just kind of get involved. We'll be dropping links and, yeah, we're really excited to have this partnership with them. We're really, really excited.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, Jake. I think I'll probably be doing the Best Ball. And it kind of sounds like a the pickup game in or what's it called, the scramble in golf. You know, like whoever out of your four teammates, whoever hits the best ball, you know, everybody puts their ball down, picks it up, stress-free, you keep going, everyone smiles and has a good time. I like that.
Exactly. And so if you're one of those people that, like, last year you drafted Matthew Stafford and he got hurt halfway through the season, now you're backup. And if you drafted, you know, three quarterbacks, you're backup and then your third string. Now they're going to fight. Whoever has the most points each week is going to become that guy. And he'll be the starter for that week for you. So it helps you out there. But you know what else helps you out? BetOnline.ag, which is your number one source for all your betting needs this season. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. So, Cam, all right. Burning question is back.
All right. Thank you. Finally.
So I'll let you do the honors. You ask the burning question.
Okay. Burning question. So I'll ask you the burning question this time, Jake. And so I know this week we were talking about pretty much this past month, right? Not a lot has been going on. And we were like, what's a good burning question? How are we going to approach this? You know, training camp's coming up pretty soon. We go back to the draft. The Rams have a mystery relevant, right? And so, you know, after seeing it, I'm like, okay, I think I got it. And the burning question, Jake, is will the Rams be able to prove the haters wrong in this upcoming season? Burning question.
I believe so, Cam, because I think the haters, I mean, it is not hard to be a hater of the Rams right now. It seems like everybody, come one, come all, let's hate the hate train of the LA Rams. Yeah, I mean, it's like, I understand they've moved on from a lot of these guys that did help them win a Super Bowl, but at the same time, they didn't move on from Aaron Donald, Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, or Sean McVay. Mm-hmm. Case closed, right? So I think, you know, when you look at it, the Cardinals are going to be an absolute dumpster fire. I don't know what's going to go on there, except for the fact I do know that they're going to charge players to eat, apparently.
Shots. This is our chance to take the shots, Jake. We've got to do it while we can.
So I do know that much. The 49ers, I don't know, Debo Samuel doesn't want to do any interviews, so we're not really too worried about him, you know, stepping up in the limelight there. We're just killing it with the jokes right now. And then Seattle, I mean, hey, you and I respect Geno Smith, but what if he is a one-year wonder, right? That would be a crazy revelation. Regardless, here's the thing. Okay, I hear all the time, well, the Seattle Seahawks are better than the Rams. Okay, well, the Seattle Seahawks almost lost both games to John Wolford and Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield was on the team for, what, 4 weeks? So he barely had the offense under his belt. And then John Wolford, I mean, come on now. He was losing it halfway through the season. So the Rams were one possession away from winning both of those games. Okay, now we move on to the 49ers. You want to give them the sweep? Fine, that's two losses. Well, I think they sweep the Seahawks, okay? So that's two wins. I think they, you know, sweep the Arizona Cardinals. And I think the second game, the Cardinals probably aren't going to want to win because they're going to be so locked into getting Caleb Williams, it won't matter at that point. So they're up now, it's what, they're 4-2 there? You don't think that they can win this year with, you know, with Sean McVay? I mean, people were not certain on the Rams. I heard over and over again, oh, they just hired a frat boy. He's 30 years old. He doesn't know what he's doing. Yada, yada, yada. Well, the Rams were coming off a worse season than they did last year, believe it or not. All right. So the Rams coming off the 2016 season, winning four games, starting the season, what, 3-1, and only winning one game the rest of the year under Case Keenum and Jared Goff. And then coming back the next year with Sean McVay and winning 11 games. People were like, no, this Rams team. Look, I don't think the Rams team in 2016 was bad. I just think they needed a head coaching direction. I'm sure you could agree with that because you've been around Sean, right?
Yep, and there was great talent on that team. Probably even better talent than that's on this team right now. And Sean is the key, like you said, Jake. But I'll pass it back to you because I got some thoughts on it as well. But you're right. You're right.
I'm a steaming demon right now. I'm in a roll, you know, like, come on. Like it's been a month. We gotta light the flame. There's gotta be some fire. Well, that's what I plan on giving. So, you know, the thing is, I'd understand if Sean McVay did retire and say that Sean Payton there. Yeah, I'd understand. Yeah, the Rams are going to be probably pretty bad, right? Nothing against Sean Payton. He's not Sean McVay. I don't care what anyone says. McVay's already been in two championships. He's won one of them. He's been in two, and he's 37. He's still the youngest coach in the NFL. And when I look at this, I don't think their team's that bad, Cam. And furthermore, I will say that the Rams were ahead of the curve with F them picks. And I'll just throw this out there, thought-provoking little thing. The Rams might be, what if the Rams are ahead of the curve on the defense doesn't win championships in 2023? You have a world where Patrick Mahomes is carrying a Chiefs team that has gotten better over the years on defense, but Tell me, have they ever really been a top 15 defense to you solidified? I don't think so. I don't think they've been a great defense. I think they've had some great players, but overall, kind of similar with the Rams, right? I mean, look, they started, you know, a bunch of rookies in the Super Bowl, right? You have Chris Jones, they're Aaron Donald there. You have, you know, Nick Bolton, who's like the Ernest Jones on the Rams. You have some pieces, but it's not anybody that, you know, like, it's not a team where a household name is all over the place.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
and Jake, even go back to the Rams Super Bowl against the Patriots in 2018. We're going to talk about someone, Sony Michel, who was on that Patriots football team, right, who did pretty well, then went to the Rams. But that Patriots team did not have a whole bunch of superstars. I think we talk about this all the time. Of course, they had Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady, right, but and Julian Edelman. So you got three Hall of Famers. But outside of that, well, and take it back. The offensive line was excellent. So they had a lot of guys that could play some football. But going to this Rams team as well, the Rams have similar pieces. They don't have Tom Brady. They don't have Gronkowski. They don't have Edelman. And they don't have that offensive line. They do have Sean McVay, like you mentioned. They do have those three pillars, three Hall of Famers, two on the offensive side of the ball, one on the defensive side of the ball. And then to caveat that as well, you got Raheem Morris on the defensive side of the ball, right, who's coaching his tail off. So let's not overlook, right, what teams are able to do with not the household names at the sexy positions, at the wide receiver position, at the defensive back position. That you can still win football games regardless of that, Jake. So to your point, the Rams have been getting a lot of heat, Jake, and I think we were a part of that, right? We were a part of that. I don't want to say the hater crew, but
until the draft, I needed to know the direction, Cam. I needed to know their direction. Are they really going to tank? Should I really buy into that? Their draft says no. So since their draft, they've sold me. They've sold me on the fact that they will be back. They will be fighting. They're not going to win the Super Bowl this year, you know, unless there's something crazy. Although, you know what? I won't even say that because Sean McVay, I'm just not betting against. Yeah. But they're not trying to win a Super Bowl. That's not like they're not their goal right now. Their goal is to get to the playoffs. Their goal is not Super Bowl like years past. And that's okay because 2025, you know, 2026, hopefully their team is more built for that.
Yeah, and Jake, what I will say this, there's a saying, you got to go through the pit to get to the palace. And there's another saying too, is when there's a valley, and the Rams are in the valley right now, right? There's a mountain, and there's a valley. The Rams are in that valley right now. They just came off a mountain, but Jake, I do think they're on the way back up that other mountain. And the reason why I say that as well, you just talked about it. 2016, when I was part of that team, we were like this. Sean McVay came apart, and we started to ascend a little bit. You know, went to the Super Bowl, went back down a little bit, then went back up, won a Super Bowl, and then now we're back down. So that's just a part of the life cycle, Jake. And I do believe that with Sean McVay leading the helm, Les Snead as well, that the Rams are going to find a way to get back up on that valley. And you think about this as well, Jake. The Rams are positioned perfectly to get out of the valley because of one of the people that they picked during the draft, Mr. Irrelevant. Is Juan Johnson, right? He wore number 99 and then shifted to number one. So he went from Aaron Donald wearing number 99 to then number one. And I think the Rams are kind of taking that. And I feel like they should use that as a model this year. No one's counting on us this year. Everyone's counting us out. We got a lot of haters, similar to Mr. Irrelevant, Deswan Johnson. They don't think he's going to amount to anything. Well, if you go back last year, Brock Purdy was in that same boat. He was Mr. Irrelevant as well. And then he found his way to superstardom. So who knows? Are the Rams going to kind of take that similar energy and make sure that Deswan lives up to that Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant hype? Who knows? But regardless, the Rams have a chip on the shoulder. They know that they're in the valley at the moment, and they got to get up to the mountain. And they're going to use guys like Deswan Johnson and the other folks from the draft to build this team up and win some football games, Jake. So I got faith in our guys. I'm counting the playoffs for the Rams. Count the playoffs. They're going to find the playoffs. And I think they're going to at least get one game against the 49ers. They might not get both, but I think they'll get at least one game. Because anytime you play a division rival, Jake, the stakes are that much higher. And we don't know who their quarterback's going to be. So it's open season for the Rams there.
And we've just been going about it all, like, you know, every year. It's okay. The 49ers don't have a quarterback. Is it okay? You guys haven't won a Super Bowl. I mean, you haven't won a Super Bowl, like, in years, in my lifetime.
Yeah, they've gotten close, but hey, Close doesn't matter. Close doesn't matter. The Rams got close. We talk about 2018. The Rams got close against the Patriots, but they found the way to get back. And, you know, to credit the 49ers, they made their way to the Super Bowl, the Miami Super Bowl as well. And they've gotten really close, but the fact that they have not won it yet doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you're not first, you're last, Jake. You're not first, you're last.
Speaking of that, that mentality of, well, we would have won if our quarterback didn't get hurt when you lost by like 30, has just always been laughable to me. I'm glad the Rams, the team that we cover, is not like that. I'll just say that right now. I'm glad there's no excuses or anything. And I think that's just the culture, you know. And honestly, Jeff Fisher had that culture too. I didn't feel like there was like excuse making with the players. I didn't feel like they were like, oh, yeah, it might have been. No. Never felt that way. And I would, you know, I'll say this. I think when you look at this team and you look at the team that lost to the Patriots in 2018, what I find funny is this is the team where if you have a chant, we're still here, it's this team.
Yeah.
Why was Tom Brady chanting, we're still here, when everyone knows, like, bro, people are referring to you as the GOAT. Like, you're in the Super Bowl. You're the New England Patriots. You're essentially a dynasty. We haven't seen many of those in the NFL, in the NFL's history. And he's chanting, we're still here. And so I'm like, if he's chanting that, then definitely this team can chant that. Yeah. Because, look, I think that there are guys on this roster that will literally take ownership, even though they weren't here winning the Super Bowl the year they won. They'll take ownership because now a guy like Dakobe Durant knows what it's like to be around a team that just came off a Super Bowl win, but it's the biggest tease in the world because then you come in and you go 5-12 and you're like, man, like I'm around these people. They keep talking about how great those parties were. And I mean, right. He's a Ram at the time. They're freaking doing the ring ceremony. Keep that in mind. There were Rams that were drafted last year that don't go to the ring ceremony because they weren't on that team. And you have OBJ there, and you see it on social media, and Von Miller, you're like, man, I want a piece of that. And it's like those are guys now that they have to be the leaders of their respective draft classes. They have to step up, and I think Dakobe Durant is doing that. And I saw him social media, like he's hanging out with like Jalen Ramsey. I think he's going to take on more of that Jalen Ramsey-esque role on that team where he's going to be a vocal leader. You know, he's somebody that seems beyond his years, and maybe that's just the way it is, you know, with these HBCU kids that get, you know, just mistreated and, you know, overlooked and whatnot. I mean, another, you know, guy I would name, he's on the Niners, Javon Hargrave. Mm-hmm. But I'm very excited about Durant. He led the entire league this past year in interception return yardage, which isn't just something to be like, like you're not scoffing at it because, I mean, you know, his name, I guess it's not Tariq Woolen now, it's just Reek Woolen. He changed it. But he had 6 interceptions, and I think Dakobe Durant only had 3, and he had more return yardage than you know, Reek Woolen. So
yeah,
I don't know. There are guys like that, to your point, that I think just really are going to, they're going to have this chip on our shoulder. Like nobody believes in us. And this time it's not going to be BS. Like the Patriots saying nobody believes in us was just straight BS. This won't be BS because it's all over the place. You have guys on ESPN like saying they're, you know, not a good team and whatnot. But anyway, that's another segment. Let's dive into Sony Akello and DeMarcus Robinson, who all ended up signing with the Rams since the last time we signed off on episode 163. So, Cam, let's start with Sony. What are your thoughts on that?
I love it. You just mentioned Kobe Durant being a part of a team that won a Super Bowl, and Sony Michel was a part of that team. So he got signed a little bit later, right? I know he went a couple other places before. I know a little stint at the Dolphins, a little stint at the Chargers down the street, but now he's back home with the Rams, the team that Jake, he ran all over. I just, let's be honest, during the Super Bowl. Well, he had the only touchdown for the Patriots that game, but just coming from UGA before that game, right? They lost in the college football playoff. So he had a little fire behind him and then made his way to the Patriots and went to the Super Bowl and crushed the Rams. The Rams were like, hey, we want that guy on our team. When he went to the Rams, he still did well then too. And Jake, just kind of watching some of his tape from when he was at the Patriots until when he was at the Rams. At the end of the day, he's a downhill running back, Sony Michel. And he's a veteran quarterback, running back, which is really nice. So he's going to be able to tell Cam Akers in that running back room, hey, I know you guys are young. I know you guys are trying to figure yourselves out on this Rams team, but I've been here before. I won a championship with the Rams. So I'm really glad that he's there. And you think about the people that he's been around, Jake. He's been around your Tom Brady, so he's seen greatness. He's seen excellence when it comes to this game of football. So I really like that. And my second note to Jake is I realize Sony Michel does best when there's two backs in the backfield. And so that 21 personnel, you think about the Patriot days when he had James Devlin blocking for him, Jake. That's when he finds his best football, when he's running downhill, when there's kick plays, when you got offensive linemen double teaming some of the defensive linemen to go up to the running backs, the linebackers. That's his football. He's that old school running back, great, best I found in the short yardage in the red zone, Jake. So, like I said, he's a little bit more veteran. He has a home run ability, but he doesn't really have that home run speed. So, you know, I think the Rams are really going to count on him in the red zone in those short yardage situations, and also to coach up those younger running backs, Jake. But I'm really glad that he's on the squad again. I mean, when he was at the Rams, he had 208 rushing yards. Oh, no, sorry. 845 rushing yards in 2021 with the Rams. In 2018, when he was with the Patriots, he had 931 and then 912 the following year. So he's done his best work with the Rams and the Patriots, and I hopefully he continues that this year.
I think he's going to have a very limited role, but I think he's coming in for exactly what you're saying. The short area, you know, short yard situations and the goal line, you know, stuff like that. I think you add a power guy because he's going to diversify your running back room. We use the term diversify a lot when we're talking about receivers. We want a guy that can play in the slot, guy that can stretch the field, guy that can be your possession receiver on third down, you know, guy, big body guy that can jump over people, you know, that whole thing. Well, running backs, it's like Cam Akers is kind of the do it all back. You know, I think he's an underrated receiving back. He can help you. He's got good contact balance, but I wouldn't call him a power back. He's got, you know, 4.4 speed. And then you have, you know, Kyron Williams, who's the pass protecting back, who can help you as a scat back. I also think he's got some underrated downhill ability, but, you know, they have different skill sets. Sony Michel is, he's a power back. And yeah. So I think that is going to help them just by having him, just having him there as an option. He might not, you know, have more than 30 carries this season, but, you know, and obviously if there's an injury, they can pivot to him. They did it with Daryl Henderson. They could do it with him. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind there. Yeah. But, you know, the biggest one, I thought the biggest signing of the three was Akella Witherspoon, because I think they literally found a starting caliber corner in June. And that's just not something that you normally are saying. You know, I don't think at this point in the game, I mean, look, like Akella Witherspoon, he's had his moments, but I think really people look at last year and they look at his time with the Steelers and they see last year before anything else. He's a good cornerback. He is a starting cornerback. And I think that the thing with Akello is that, you know, everyone looks at last year, he struggled in the four games, then he gets hurt. That hamstring lingers the whole year. He's placed on IR, never plays it down again. But 2021, PFF ranked him 17th overall. 2020, PFF ranked him 5th overall. In 2020, he only missed one tackle. He gave up only two touchdowns. In 2021, he was 4th in targeted passer rating. Okay, 4th. So when quarterbacks are throwing his way, not a lot of good is coming out of it. Right. And so that's a good thing. And then he only gave up one touchdown that year and had 3 interceptions. What you're getting with Akello is a guy who is a long-limbed corner. You know, we're talking 6'2", 200 pounds. We ran a 4.45, I believe, coming out of, you know, Colorado. And I just think when you look at this signing, the Rams are telling you, we want Dakobe Durant inside. We want him to be a slot corner. So whether I am a big fan of Robert Rochelle, Darian Kendrick, whoever, I can tell you that regardless of any of those guys, Akello's starting. I really believe that Akello, if he's not a starter right now, he is going to work his way into the rotation come training camp. And if not then, it'll be during the season because he is that good.
Yeah, I like it. And Aubrey Pleasant has someone else to work with, right? I mean, you talk about Akella Witherspoon and just the teams he's been with. He's been with the Steelers, Jake. We both know this. The Steelers make the playoffs every year. So just bringing that in, that mentality, that's fabulous in itself. And the Rams defensive backs, we need that. We talked about Jalen Ramsey leaving. We got a veteran like Akella Witherspoon stepping in. That knowledge, that fight, that grit, we all know that the Rams defensive backs need that. And then also, too, you think about it, he played for the 49ers. So he played under Coach Sala, also D'Amico Ryan. So you're getting impeccable knowledge passed down to you from elite coaches in the NFL and also former players as well. So the fact that the Rams are getting that, the fact that Raheem Morris is getting that, and Aubrey Pleasant, the defensive back room, Jake, I hope they get many more interceptions than they did last year. I think we talked about this. We need takeaways, Jake. We need takeaways. And a guy like Akello Witherspoon is going to get those takeaways. And then also, Jake, you go to just the Rams defensive front, Jake. I mean, of course, Aaron Donald is coming back, which is fabulous. But then you also got some new additions to this Rams defensive line that I think that are going to force the football to go up in the air a little bit more, right, Jake? The football's going to go up in the air a little bit more, and that means the defensive backs are going to make some plays. And I think you also mentioned it too, that the defense doesn't have to win football games. Oh, it doesn't have to win championships like that. And I don't know if I fully agree with it, Jake, because I don't know either.
I'm posing the question. I know you're a defensive guy, but what if the Rams are ahead of the curve here? It's why they got rid of Jalen Ramsey. It's why they moved on for Bobby Wagner. It's why they moved on from Leonard Floyd. They acted as if, and hear me out with this analogy, okay? This might make some sense. They acted as if they were insider traders. Like, it was like, oh, I just got knowledge that so-and-so is going down tomorrow. I'm selling all my stock. That's what it felt like, right? It was over a course of a month, and you lose all that star talent, but you didn't lose it. You got rid of it.
Right.
Think about that.
Yeah. You're right, Jake. That's the end of the day, too, is the Rams have been to the Super Bowl and the past 5 to 6 years twice. So they know something that we don't fully know, Jake. And we're just sharing the news. And kind of going back to it, Jake, you talked about it, is defenses don't necessarily have to will a team forward as much as you think they should. But what I like what the Rams did in the offseason is they don't have any key names, right? Leonard Floyd is gone. You got a lot of folks gone, but they do have Aaron Donald, and they added edge rushers like Nick Hampton, Kobe Turner, and Byron Young. So these are also young guys coming from college that are stepping in and playing some football. But we also talked about it earlier. The Chiefs had a rookie defensive back group, right? So you got some rookies on the defensive line. You got Aaron Donald holding it down. I like the turnover ratio, Jake. I think there's going to be some hands that are going to be disrupting the passer at all times. I think guys are going to be getting free. And then we also talk about our Mr. Irrelevant as well. He's going to be playing next to Aaron Donald. Like I said, he wore that number 99 back in the day, which is okay. But now he's going to have to switch that up a bit. But you got guys that can make some plays. You got LaDainian Tomlinson's family member also playing defensive back as well. So we got some things in the mix, Jake. I know ESPN mentioned that the Rams roster isn't great and whatnot, but you got young guys that can ball out that are surrounded by playmakers and Hall of Famers. So I like what I'm seeing here.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think the direction they went in is, and I've used this analogy before, pay off the credit card debt. Don't start racking it up again. Like, you can't just be like, F them picks, and then, all right, we realize we can't keep doing this, so we're going to nip this in the bud now. We're going to pay off that debt and then start accruing more debt. Right. They're sticking to that. And what they're doing is they're going out and finding affordable guys like, hey, Sony Michel, remember him? Yeah, he won a Super Bowl with us. He was, you know, Johnny on the spot when Daryl Henderson went down. We didn't have Cam Akers. He stepped in, had an 800-yard season, has familiarity with the offense, staffer, etc. Let's bring him in. Hey, Akello Witherspoon, this is a 28-year-old corner that's had some good seasons. We think the injury might have robbed him of last year. Could still play at a high level. We don't really have a veteran now because Jalen Ramsey's gone. Let's bring him right in. And then the next guy is Mr. Reliable, and that is DeMarcus Robinson. If you don't know who he is, he's a guy who doesn't get hurt. He's a guy that is always on the field. He's always playing, and he's not the sexiest wide receiver. But what we're talking about here are three guys that can contribute to your roster, and you're getting in the bargain bin, okay? They can help you just as much as the expensive stuff can help you. And honestly, they can help you more because the expensive stuff, you're paying for name brands, right? You know, when you go out and you spend money on, you know, Richard Sherman, you're paying for Richard Sherman. You're paying for Sony. But if you get the knockoff Sony brand that does just as much and, you know, you're not paying that much money, I mean, you probably won with that choice. And so, you know, I think teams are always, not always, there are some teams that aren't afraid, but there are teams that are afraid to go into the bargain bin, right? They want the big name guys. They want guys that are going to get butts in the seats. And they know, the Rams know, they've already started this. They literally had a message sent out to the season ticket holders by Kevin Demoff. Look, like, we're not tanking, okay? Like, we're doing something here. We have a plan. And now they're like, look, you know, we're going to add a Keller Witherspoon, who is a name to our fans. our fans love Sony Michel, and DeMarcus Robinson was busy catching touchdowns in the postseason. You saw him in your living room. So, look, we're going to get three good football players here. They're not the top. They're not the cream of the crop, but they have some potential. And you could argue, I mean, DeMarcus Robinson could be in for his best season with the Los Angeles Rams. He's in a good spot.
Yeah, no, I like that move, getting DeMarcus Robinson, Jake. You mentioned it. It's not a sexy name, Jake. It's not a sexy name. It's not someone who's like, oh, you know, that it's not that. He played for the Chiefs for a bit, also played for the Ravens. So he's coming from great quarterbacks at the end of the day, great quarterbacks. And he knows where to be when he needs to be there, Jake. I got him some of my notes just from watching this film. He's a great possession receiver at the end of the day. You need a first down. If you're in the red zone and you need a catch, I need a touchdown, he's going to be your guy to go to. And you mentioned it. This is one of your sleeper. This is your glue guy, right? I think before games, we talk about sleepers, people to watch out for. Of course, we're going to talk about Van Jefferson and Tutu Atwell, but we're also going to be speaking about DeMarcus Robinson, because he's a veteran in the game. He knows where to be when he needs to be there. And Jake, one thing that I'll have to say as well is, for undisciplined corners out there going against DeMarcus Robinson, the best of luck. If their eyes aren't good, he's going to beat you. He's going to burn you. If you watch his tape, he has like a nasty dead leg where he's kind of looking inside a little bit, and the cornerback is looking inside, maybe eyeing the quarterback a bit, and then he breaks him off and finds the end zone wide open. You find that more often than not, Jake. He's nasty with it. Even too, cornerbacks that aren't disciplined when they're tackling people, Jake, a lot of times he'll catch these screen passes, and he'll start off inside, and he'll see that nasty dead leg, find his way to the outside and running 10 to 15 yards. And for cornerbacks, just for people who don't know, for cornerbacks, they are the edge or the anchor of the defense. And the defensive backs coach hates it when the cornerback loses leverage. As a linebacker, Jake, I hated it when cornerbacks lose leverage, because that means I have to run that much farther to catch a guy like Tyreek Hill. But only if the cornerback stayed outside and forced it back my way, that means I get the tackle. That means I get the glory. So DeMarcus Robinson is going to have a lot of upset linebackers on the opposite team, because he's going to force leverage on these cornerbacks. So I love the pickup there as well.
Yeah, and to me, this guy has some potential in the yak yardage area of his game, but I think also he kind of had to adapt on the fly. He kind of had, we always talk about adapt or die, right? And especially in this league, it's very unforgiving. And, you know, one day you could be a deep threat in Patrick Mahomes' level offense, and then another, you're asked, you know, you're not throwing, you know, that far. And the Ravens offense with Tyler Huntley, backup quarterback, who, I mean, to his credit, was named in the Pro Bowl. But, you know, they ask him to go with more of a conservative approach, throw short of the sticks. And you have a guy like DeMarcus Robinson's like, all right, bet, I'm going to do that. And so, you know, he comes through and he has a 9.5 yards per reception average last season, which some people look at as a negative, but I think it shows you what he can do. I mean, he's a guy that had 14, 13.1, and then he went down to 10.4, 10.6, and now 9.5. So he can play kind of all over the field, good speed, good size. I really like his yards after the catch ability. I think he, you know, has good vision, can redirect himself, and he could be that possession receiver, like you're saying, on third down, like throw it to DeMarcus Robinson. You know, the guy has a decent catch percentage at 63.9%. Last year, 64%. He had a credible catch percentage. Didn't play a ton, but on 45 receptions of 59 targets, he had a 76.3 catch percentage in 2020.
I like
so,
it.
You know, you're talking about getting, I'm not saying this is the Akella Witherspoon of the wide receivers, but you're getting a 28-year-old wide receiver, going to add some veteran presence. And the big thing that stands out to me, Cam, that no one seems to talk about, is that while Cooper Kupp is the best receiver by a mile in this room, he's not the most experienced on the outside. Believe it or not, nobody on the team has had more reps lined up out wide than DeMarcus Robinson.
Mm-hmm. There you go. We need that, right? Tutu Atwell, we need a guy like Tutu Atwell to maybe be in the slot a little bit. You know what I mean? And cause some havoc within there. And I know we got Puka Nacua, Big Van Jefferson. So I'm liking the way the receiver room is looking, Jake. And also, too, you know, you think about the quarterback position. You know, Stetson Bennett, you got some guys that are going to be able to back up Matthew Stafford. Because, I mean, you think about it, when it comes to, go back to our burning question. will the Rams be able to, you know, to silence the haters? And the only way they're going to be able to do that is if the quarterback position is healthy. Stetson Bennett, I know if he has to step in, he's going to have to be able to play some football, which I have faith in compared to last year, Jake. And, you know, we talk about sometimes just receive touchdowns, and we talk about just, between last year and the year before that. So the Rams, when they went to the Super Bowl, they had 52 receiving touchdowns. Last year, they only had 32. Of course, there's more games being played in the playoffs and whatnot, but that was a drop-off. And then, that was 2021. And then last year, 41 receiving touchdowns, and then 14 the previous year as well. So, I think I mixed that up. But regardless, though, what I'm saying is I'm looking at my numbers. I'm like, oh, that doesn't make any sense. What I'm saying is they had a major drop off between the Super Bowl year and the last year. They pretty much, their receiving touchdowns was cut in half, and it's not good. And so this year coming up, the quarterback has to stay healthy, and they got to throw that football and they got to score some touchdowns, Jake. So we'll see. Will the Rams prove the haters wrong? I'm not sure, but they got to score some touchdowns to get that done at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And, you know, I think those three additions, as well as one that they made a little bit earlier, probably around it, I want to say around May, when they brought in Vincent Gray. I've liked every single player that they brought in outside of the organization. And I don't think that they're done. I think they'll probably add one more. And what I mean by one more is I'm not talking about just adding a guy that got cut from another roster. I'm talking about, like, they're probably looking at maybe like a Dalton Risner or somebody to just shore up that offensive line, because you can never have too many offensive linemen. That's one thing that we learned last year. So vibe or don't vibe segment that you and I have kind of teased. We wanted to do on Off the Edge. We've had so we have time constraints. So we've had so many things we want to talk about, and just not enough time to really do it. So we've kind of, you know, not done that. But vibe or don't vibe, there's news, but it's not actual news. It's BS, if you know what I mean. Mike Lombardi, who Jason Kelce is known for calling him a clown after winning the Super Bowl in front of everybody. Mike Lombardi says that the Rams, actually, he doesn't say, he's adamantly like begging us to believe that he was told that the Rams tried everything they could to off, you know, Matthew Stafford. And by off, I mean trade, not kill. So look, let me make this very clear. I don't vibe with this at all, and I wish you'd shut the hell up about it, because it is so ridiculous that when I'm talking to people in the organization, they're laughing. This isn't a real thing. It's not real. Like, stop, like, trying to push some BS narrative that the Rams were shopping Matthew Stafford. They were not doing that. They believe in him. Do you know why they believe it? Like, do you know? Like, look, he's out on the field. Okay, he's made progress. If he didn't make progress, they'd be looking at other options. You know, they got Stetson Bennett to be their backup. So if he does get hurt, they have a guy that's ready. But they're not, like, out on him. And I think that's the thing that people don't understand. And also, Stafford, his 35 years old, might be a little bit older than some people's 35, because he's gotten, you know, banged up a bit, but he's still 35. People act like he's 45. And so, you know, what I would just say is the guy's live, you know, this guy's arm is very live. I was, told the other day, like, I was like, hey, man, like, just between you and I, and obviously not between you and, but you know what I mean? Like, the whole idea, like, just, for real, like help me out here. I hear all this stuff about Stafford and, like, you know, his elbow and all that. And he's like, I don't see anything wrong with his elbow this year. That thing is, it is a live arm. It's the ball just jumps off his arm. And so, you know, when I hear stuff like this is happening and this is happening, but then I'm talking to people inside the organization who are telling me it's not happening, someone's lying there. Someone doesn't have their facts straight, which isn't necessarily lying. They just might be, you know, misinformed. Mike Lombardi was a executive in the NFL. He's not anymore, and he has a lot of connections. Whatever connection is telling him that Stafford is going to be traded, or they tried to trade him, is just not telling him proper information.
Yeah. And Jake, you call that noise. Jake, you call that noise when you're in, and I think too, like, that just goes back to our burning question, right? Like, will the Rams be able to prove the haters wrong? And that's just a hater talk at the end of the day. And I'm not, to answer your question, I'm not vibing with it. Like you said, I'm not vibing with it. And a lot of times, you know, when people, I don't know if someone that told him that they're joking around, like, oh yeah, they're shopping around Stafford. They're probably joking, and like he kind of ran with it. But Jake, one thing I won't discount is the other side of the coin as well, Jake. I know we said don't vibe with it, but also we look at the other side of the coin. Before the draft, when the Rams were going through their full remodeling process, revamping process, if he said, when he said it at the time, I probably would have probably vibed with him, right, Jake? Because who, they got rid of Jalen Ramsey, they got rid of everybody, of Leonard Floyd. So like, who knows what they were doing at that point? Might as well just get rid of everybody. That's what I thought they were doing. If Aaron Donald said he was retiring, then it's like, oh man, who do we have? Just Cooper Kupp, right? So I also too want to look at the other side of the coin, but going back to my answer, I'm not vibing with it. This is the time right now when the Rams are really trying to figure out how to get out of that valley. And hearing noise like that, hearing the haters saying, hey, we're going to trade your quarterback, when, like you said, his arm is jumping, he's fully healthy and ready to go, that it's BS, it's malarkey. So for the Rams, they got to really figure out how to lock in, Jake, really figure out how to lock in, ignore the noise, and get to the playoffs. That's it. Ignore the noise and get rid of the playoffs. The team that they have now, these rookies, these young cats, some of these old veterans coming from different places, they're going to have to put it together and make it happen because it's not looking good. You got people talking in different places, in different ways, saying that they have the worst roster. It's all noise. It's all noise until the whistle blows and that first game is kicked off the regular season and these guys are ready to play ball. So, yeah, no vibe for me.
Yeah, no, I think it's a little ridiculous. And I understand, like you said, initially, okay. Like, I thought maybe there was a chance. Like, I was told the Jets could make a trade for Stafford if they didn't get Aaron Rodgers. Because they were in a situation where Derek Carr had already signed with the Saints. And they had already kind of talked a big game to the fan base. Like, we're going after it this year. We're going to get a huge, you know, quarterback. And there was no way that the fans would have accepted Zach Wilson trotting out there for week one. So, you know, and look, he could develop down the road, but that wasn't the point. The point was, if Aaron Rodgers didn't go there, say he goes back to Green Bay or goes wherever, the Jets, there was talk that there was stuff I was given that they could explore a trade for Stafford. Not that the Rams would have traded Stafford, they were shopping him, but there was talk that maybe he might be available. But the fact that Lombardi has continued to, like I said, beg the attention of people to like buy into this and double down on it is what really is starting to just irk me. But that's also what happens when we have nothing to talk about in July. So I don't want to hate him too much for that. But at the same time, in the words of Jason Kelsey, or that clown, Mike Lombardi. He did say that. I'm just quoting. The Rams, a vibe or don't vibe, Cam. The Rams are being ranked the second worst roster according to ESPN. Vibe or don't vibe?
Don't vibe. I think I mentioned it in my last statement. It sounded like haters are talking, Jake. Haters are talking. I think we touched on this. We talk about the Patriots. Their roster was a little bit better, right? Talk about the offensive line. They had Joe Tooney. They had some boys now. They had some boys. But I don't think that the Rams roster, they're saying it's the worst roster. I don't think that's the case. There's a lot of young cats on this team. There's a lot of couple Hall of Famers on this team as well. And so I think for this piece, Jake, I think we also have to look at the coaching staff as well, some of the upgrades that they got on their coaching staff. And I think – this coaching staff is going to be able to do a lot with what they have. We talked about the draft. They had about, I think, 14 picks or something crazy like that. It's a new group. It's a new group. There's not many household names. So, of course, the people who have never played the game are like, oh, they're trash. They're this, they're that. Probably haven't even watched half of these guys that the Rams drafted on film yet, Jake. So I'm not buying it. No vibe for me. And that's why the burning question was what it was is, can they prove the haters wrong? And clearly ESPN is throwing mad hate on our team, my guy.
Yeah, it definitely felt that way. I don't know. Like when I look at this roster, I think what you're saying, if you say it's bad, is that you just don't know it. Like I've heard analysts too many times this offseason. And for the love of God, if you want to talk about Rams, bring Camarai on. Or bring like somebody who knows the roster, for Christ's sakes. I mean, I'm so tired of hearing an analyst say, oh, I don't know. I know about 10 guys on the roster, so I don't think they're going to be very good. Oh, I would take the under. Like, right. All right, well, thank you for wasting my time, insulting my intelligence, and acting like a complete buffoon. They literally give anybody a microphone. Anyway, my point here is that if you're an analyst, if you're actually doing your job and you look at this team, like, yes, I'm going to hold you accountable. Like, you should know. Like, if you're going to go on the air and talk about the Rams, you should know this team. Okay, that's not a good look for you. That's not like that. You got this, you know, backwards. This isn't the Rams. You look like an idiot. So my thing here, Cam, is that for the casual fan, they're going to think this team is bad. You know why I don't care? Because casual fans aren't invested like hardcore fans. So they have an excuse. It's okay.
When you're an analyst.
Yeah, well, yeah, and we're analysts too. So if you're an analyst and you're not putting in that work, that just makes you look bad. So stop using that. Like for anything. Like, yeah, I know about three people on this team. Oh, good God. Why would you admit that? That's not a good look for you. If you cover the NFL, like, man, I know nobody on this team. That's not a good look. I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. I don't care if, you know, we're buds. I would call you out. I'd call you out right now. You do your homework before you get up and you waste people's time on a show. It's that simple.
Hey, people are tuning in, Google.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I don't know, man. It's like, and also, if you have a computer in front of you, it is so much better to bring up a depth chart than just sit there and say something stupid like that. That just insults everyone's intelligence, including mine. The fact that I even had to bring that up. And I'm not going to name names because you don't deserve the clout that you're looking for. Anyway, we move on to Vibe or Don't Vibe With. And this is the last one. The Rams should sign either supplemental draft pick, UDFA wide receiver Malachi Wideman, who is the Jackson State wide receiver, 6'5", big-bodied receiver, or Milton Wright. And, you know, here's the thing. I did a video on Milton Wright. Both went undrafted today. So we now have that news. I don't think when we were going live we had the news. I did find out that they both went undrafted.
From the supplemental draft.
Yeah, for the supplemental draft. So they both are available. And, you know, you look at the Rams receiver room, Cam, I'm going to say I vibe with this. You could sign a guy and cut him. It's okay. You don't have a draft pick that you've given up now. So to me, it's you're playing with free money, man.
Yeah.
You're playing with house money, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm vibing with it, Jake. Like you said, I think as many guys that you can get to score those touchdowns, right? We were going back to the last stat. Last year, we were half the way we were from the previous year. And so we got to increase those touchdowns this year in 2023 and 2024. So who's going to get that done? Hopefully one of these two, right? You bring on some guys. You mentioned Malachi, 6'5", 190. Jake played at Jackson State. They went to the HBCU Championship, the Celebration Bowl out in Atlanta. They played in that, and Malachi was a part of it, Jake. And so you think about a big body frame like that. I don't know if the Rams have someone that tall on the team that tall in the wide receiver room. So you got someone in the red zone who's going to be a great threat. You look at his tape, that you can find him all over the red zone, Jake. He was at University of Tennessee before him, played basketball. So throw the damn ball up. He's going to catch it. He's going to score some touchdowns. And that's what the Rams need. And then going to Milton Wright, Jake, one of the comps that I have for him was like a Josh Reynolds comp. I'm not sure if it's exactly accurate. I'm not sure if he's as fast as Josh Reynolds. But one thing I do see when I watch his tape is he's always 1 to 2 yards separated from the wide receiver, Jake. A lot of his touchdowns, a lot of his catches, he's finding separations. He's getting away. So that means either he is quicker than fast, or I'm not sure what it is, but he's finding separation. He's finding a way to catch that football. And you think about, too, just a lot of times when he's one-on-one, he's coming up with the football. He's coming up with the football when he's one-on-one. So the Rams need that, Jake. They're going to be focused on Cooper Kupp a lot. A lot of times they're going to have 2 to maybe 3 defenders spying Cooper Kupp. So you're going to have to find someone else who can go catch the football. And you think about Milton Wright, who was he catching the football? He was catching the football from Aiden O'Connell, right, who's possibly going to be the starting quarterback for the Raiders when he was at Purdue. So he is used to getting the football at a high clip from a elite quarterback. So Milton Wright, Jake, I think he can step in and contribute right away. I know we got Puka Nacua and we got a lot of guys in the wide receiver room who might be there before him. But, hey, earn your way on special teams, Jake. Go tackle some people down the football field and then show that you can catch the football like you did in college. And I like it. Not a bad pickup by either of those two guys. But if I had to pick one, I would go with Milton Wright, though.
Funny thing, we were just talking about Milton Wright. I agree with you. Adam Schefter just reported Milton Wright has workouts set up with NFL teams on July 24th through 25th per his agent. So he's getting the ball rolling on that. There's still plenty of time. You can get in on the Milton Wright sweepstakes. Look, this guy should have been drafted. I think he was good enough to get drafted in the fifth round of the supplemental draft. So maybe this is just the direction we're going in. Maybe this is the fact that, look, the supplemental draft has been on hiatus since, 2019? COVID kind of ruined it. And then, these guys were like, you know what? We haven't really done this in a while. I don't really feel like going. We'll just wait and, see how things go. And so, yeah, I think Milton Wright is definitely good enough. My scouting report for him, word for word, uses, coming out of his with his frame, he uses his frame extremely well to box out defenders, comes down contested catches in traffic, good 50-50 jump ball guy that can make plays outside of the slot. He's a solid route runner, quick feet, has agility to make sharp cuts on a dime. He will need refinement, but he's in a good spot at the moment. Very good natural hands catcher that can be relied on all over the field. Great hand-eye coordination, strong hands and sideline awareness. He's got quality speed for the position, shouldn't be considered a burner by any stretch, but he has enough to separate, and he is a willing blocker, not afraid to get his hands dirty in the run game. Cam, what I think is right now you're getting a wide receiver 4 or 5 day one. So I think really, I mean, if I was an NFL GM, I'd sign both of them. I want the best receivers to make the 53. And the best way I figure that out is having them all battle each other. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking at Milton Wright as the guy that's most likely to contribute right now. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I look at Malachi Wideman, I think he's got some nice potential, but he doesn't have that speed you're looking at. So he's got a crazy catch radius. So does Milton Wright, by the way. But, he's 6'5 and more bulky. Right. But because of that, he's kind of a laboring runner. He's not like Milton Wright's a quality speed guy. He like Josh Reynolds is perfect. Yeah. I would say he's a little bit slower version of Paul Richardson, if you remember him as Seattle, Colorado receiver. But, long limbed guy, Malachi Wideman anyway, he could track the ball. He doesn't really gain a lot of separation. So not being able to separate in college and then going to the NFL is going to be a problem. And so I think what this guy needs to do is he needs to go the Darren Waller route. And I think you could have a weapon here. Yep. So what I'm proposing here is that the Rams sign both of them and they try and work Malachi Wideman at the tight end position like a Darren Waller, because he came in as a wide receiver out of Georgia Tech and he moved to a tight end. And Milton Wright, you bring him in, you have him work out as a wide receiver. Look, we've seen it. I mean, we've talked about it. DeMarcus Robinson, we're feeling good about him making the roster. We like Tyler Johnson, but we've seen guys that were talented. I remember a Quentin Copels coming into Rams camp and thinking that guy is going to make the roster. He's a very good player. He's underrated. He had a good preseason, doesn't make the roster. And everyone's like, that's the way things are. I don't have to tell you that. You've been around it. I mean, I'm sure. How many times have you been? You come down to cut day, and you're like, I can't believe that guy got cut.
Yeah, it's crazy, bro. It's crazy. And a lot of times too is availability, Jake. A lot of times guys don't make the roster because they aren't available. So for some of these young guys that are, coming off a supplemental draft, whatever you were doing while you were training, in the meantime, in between time, crank that up. The recovery, everything, crank that up, because you're about to step onto a professional football field. And you're gonna, it's gonna be quick, fast, and in a hurry. And so the quickest way not to make a team is to not be available. So that's my biggest tip for these guys, Jake. No matter the talent, no matter how good you are, I can talk about Quentin Copels. I think he was coming from the Jets. He had a great season there. He was balling out, doing his thing. And like you said, didn't make the squad. So got to be available. And I do think a couple of times he was a bit injured during practice. So I think that's why I say that. He's got to be available to make the club.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think before, obviously we go here, just I want to let people know I'm well aware that Malachi Wideman is 195 pounds. So he's not a tight end right now. I'm saying they need to look into doing that, because it was kind of the same thing with Jacob Harris, kind of built more as a wide receiver build, but they tried to move him to tight end. It didn't end up working out. He's in Jacksonville now. But I mean, I'd sign Milton Wright tomorrow, right now, actually. And I'd be like, all right, Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson, Tutu Atwell, Ben Skrant, Tyler Johnson, DeMarcus Robinson, then all the UDFA guys that I still don't know all of them. They just continue to sign guys. You got Burmeister, who I think was a quarterback at one point. So my point is, it doesn't hurt to add a guy like that. You don't have to commit to him, because if, you know, you cut him, guess what? You didn't use a pick on him in the supplemental draft. So when these guys become available, yeah, I'd go after him. And then, you know, Weidman, I would just see like, hey, can we transition this guy into, you know, maybe he's not going to be able to put on a ton of weight. You know, he doesn't have a lot of time to do this, right?
Yeah.
But maybe we get him to 200, 210, and we just use him as kind of, you know, in preseason as like maybe a designated red zone threat.
Yeah,
with that 6'5" body. You know?
Most tight ends don't block anyways, Jake, these days. Everyone wants to be a receiver as a tight end. So like you said, put a little bit of weight on him. Maybe sometimes force him to come out as an H-back, right? You know, a lot of times that move tight end where you can move him behind the line of scrimmage and he can run out to the flat, catch the football, turn it upfield, Jake. But red zone, like you said, but got to find a way to use the guy's frame like that. Like I said, maybe put on a couple more pounds, 10 more pounds of muscle, maybe some fat as well, Jake, because you got to eat a lot if you want to get in those trenches. But I agree with you. Transition him and use him to the best of his ability.
Now, for people watching, it's very unlikely they're going to get either of them, let alone both of them. But that's what we think. That's what we think they should do. Not think that what they will do, because what I think they'll do is probably stand pat. I think there's a chance they go after Milton Wright, like you mentioned. I mean, they're like, if you're going to go with either of these guys, you have to choose one gun in your head. You're going with Milton Wright all day because you know what he is. He played at a bigger program. No offense to Jackson State, but he played against tougher competition. He played more, you know, I would say like, you know, at a higher level, you know, and I think really what it comes down to is that I think he has a higher ceiling, a higher floor. So, you know, when the Rams need guys to contribute right away,
right now,
this guy say you put him in against Tyler Johnson, you're like, wow, I like Tyler Johnson, but then I put in Milton Wright, and I'm like, I like Milton Wright more. So we got to move on from Tyler Johnson because it's just not, you know, we have the better receiver here.
And we go about receivers, Jake, like the Patriots wide receiver room. I got to go back and look at that roster, Jake, but that wide receiver room wasn't that deep. You got undrafted guys. You got guys that are coming from who knows where to contribute in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, Jake, I mean, guys like this can show up. Like we talked about Chris Harris. We talk about an undrafted guy like Chris Harris who showed up to the team, got great coaching, and now is possibly a Hall of Famer. So you never know. These two guys could be Hall of Famers. Not saying they will be, but you just don't want to sleep on them, right? And we want to talk about them now, show them love.
Absolutely. And, you know, Milton was somebody that, I mean, let's be honest here, Purdue fans, they wanted him last year because, you know, we know what Chuck Sizzle did. That my guy Chuck Sizzle, but I mean, imagine having Milton Wright with him last year. Aiden O'Connell's stats would have been even crazier if you think about it. So, yeah, I don't know. I think Milton Wright is definitely the best option here. And again, it's nothing against Weidman or where he's from. It's just more so like I think he's more of a long term. We kind of have to turn him into a tight end type of guy.
Yeah,
project. And I feel like Milton Wright is more. I don't want to say a sure thing, but he's good enough to make a 53. I don't care what anyone says. He should be on a 53 starting week one.
Yep. And even if the Rams sign him and he finds somewhere else to land, like at least the Rams gave him an opportunity. But if you had to give anyone an opportunity, why not give it to Milton or Malachi? But like I said, if you had a gun to your head, you had to pick. Let's go with Milton. Have him play a couple of preseason games. Have him ball out. He makes the team cool. If not, he has another opportunity as well.
Absolutely. Well, that's going to do it for us. We hope you guys enjoyed. This has been episode 164, Believe in Rams. We'll be back, and maybe Milton Wright or Malachi Weidman will be a Ram. We don't know. I can't see the future. I'm just telling you, I don't really think that's what's going to happen, but I'd like it to. But be sure to like, subscribe, comment, rate, review. Follow my guy at Cameron Lynch 50. And then, man, what's your threads? I guess we kind of have to throw that out there now, too.
Yeah. I got a threads now. Let me look that up. I know, like, for threads, you have, like, a certain number. So, yeah, just Cameron Lynch 50. Go on my Instagram, and you see a little profile there, my threads profile. And we might have to throw our Underdog Fantasy promo code on our socials as well, Jake, because that's our new sponsor for the show.
Hell, yeah. And you can do that, Jake and Cam. That's it, Jake and Cam. And Underdog Fantasy, when you sign up, you download the app today, you'll get the match on there. And, you know, it's a good time. Come play fantasy football with us. We're going to be posting links all over the place. And we want to get into as many of these fantasy leagues as we can. Just get like a bunch of, you know, because I mean, hey, that best ball, it's about like at that point, it's about like ownership percentage. So, you know. Yeah. I want all the Matthew Stafford I can get because, you know, it's going to be harder. But drafted against you and all these people, it's going to be hard to get Matthew Stafford in those leagues. He might go number one.
Everywhere. Yeah, but hey, you know, people will get educated here, you know, before they do pick who they want to pick. We'll be talking about it right here. So I'm excited, Jake, for this season and, you know, prepare for it. And, hey, folks, if we come back a month from now or 3 weeks from now, it's okay. Just know anytime we come back, we're coming back with some heat.
Bingo. All right. We love y'all. You guys take care and we'll see you later. Peace.